It's Comedy Shoeshine.
I've recently entered the level of fat as a man where you have to wear a collared shirt.
It's not fun to suck dick at something. That's not... And furthermore...
Unless it's a dick sucking contest.
Yeah. No, even then, I don't want to suck dick at it.
Are there ventriloquists that aren't comedians? Are there serious ventriloquists?
It's time for a Comedy Shoe Shine.
With Sandra Thomas.
Listen up.
Hello, welcome to Comedy Shoeshine, episode 193. How's it going, Sam?
Man, my stomach is kind of slightly irritated.
Yeah.
I did ate a little Taco Bell and I had a couple beers last night, so I'm miserable.
I bet. Yeah, I just a content warning here, just a quick little, what do you call it? I lost the word because I'm a dead person. But yeah, today's lengthy description of the worst food poisoning I've ever fucking gotten in my life may involve discussions of, you know, bodily fluids and things. So just brace yourselves. I fucking died last night. God, it was the worst. It was the worst. But yeah. I have some interesting things happen at the hospital, and of course, just talking about food poisoning is always fun.
Yeah.
So I got food poisoning yesterday, and it was the weirdest thing, because nothing that I ate yesterday could in any way be involved in food poisoning. It makes no fucking sense. In retrospect, after I looked at the handout and the thing said, you know, the doctor gave me, it was like food poisoning could take anywhere from, you know, 1 to 24 hours to kick in. So like, okay, maybe it was the day before. But yesterday, Sunday, September 16th, at about like 2 or 3 or something, I just started my
poison o'clock.
Yeah.
Half-past
I looked
poison.
At my wristwatch and there's just a skull and like a green. Yeah. I hadn't eaten like anything. I'd eaten in the morning, you know, I do all my binge eating at night. Like when I told you what I had eaten, you said I hadn't eaten anything. It's kind of true, but I catch up at night. But in the morning, you know, I just do this like Atkins shake, and then Lydia made these like cinnamon rolls that were just the ones that were out of the stupid cardboard fucking thing, cylinder thing, whatever that is. I'd never seen because our mom makes stuff by hand somehow. Made some of those. I had like one of those. And then I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and that was fucking it. That's all I had had. And then at 2 or so, I just started like, God, it was so weird. I wasn't quite puking, but I was just like burping water or something, like, you know, weird like stomach fluid. And here's the thing about me is I have a shitty stomach. So like, that's actually not that abnormal. When that starts happening, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe my shitty stomach is kicking in for a minute because I have weird heartburn stuff. And like, sometimes if I like forget to take my pill or I've accidentally taken 2 back before I had one of those old people, pill things that I have now. That was worse. Actually taking 2 was worse than not taking 1. Because it would make it so, like, I wasn't a stomach. There's no digestion. It was just, like, it was the worst feeling. Anyway, so when I started doing that, I was like, okay. And then it went on for fucking 3 hours. And I was like, okay, this is not... Normally, if I get some weird, you know, like, stomach discomfort, it might last, like, I don't know, 20 minutes or something. But then it usually figures itself out. But it was 3 hours of just that weird burping. You know, burping a bunch of like fucking gross liquid. And I was like, what is that? I haven't eaten anything today. Like that didn't make any sense. And I was texting you. I was just like, something's wrong, but I don't know what the fuck's happening.
Yeah, and what percentage of the time do you just, oh man, I got terrible feedback. I'm getting really bad feedback for this episode already.
Is instant it like the echo thing?
Yeah, it's a really bad echo.
That's weird. What if I do this? Is that better?
Yeah, it's gone. Good. Oh, okay. Turned me off of the whole recording, yeah. Hopefully.
No, I muted the computer sound. We're not going to need it anyway, but I think it... Stupid fucking Hangouts sometimes messes up with that. But anyway,
I was going to say, what percentage of the time when people get food poisoning, they instantly know, like, oh, yeah, it was that, you know?
Oh,
like
most of the time. I was going to say that.
Chicken. It's always a weird chicken thing.
Yeah, yeah, it is. A funky chicken. That was one of the most annoying things is, like, I always just know. It'll be like, oh, I had that... I ate that fucking, McDonald's McChicken that fell on the ground and, like, a homeless person, like, rubbed their ass on it and then I still ate it because it's McDonald's.
Yeah, normally it's like that. 9 times out of 10, you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that every week and I only get food poisoning, maybe every other week. No, but I had no idea. I still don't know for sure, but my only guess is the night before Lydia made salmon... And I guess that's got to be it because it doesn't make it. I don't see how a weird like a cinnamon roll that came in a can thing that she baked. That seems like not a thing that would have food poisoning in it or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or a peanut butter and fucking jelly sandwich. I mean, what could be better unless the bread somehow? I can't think of anything. But anyway, after that lengthy period of burping where I was like, okay, what the fuck is happening? Then it like, then I just flat out lost it. Then it finally kicked in. It was like full on barf. It was the barf. I was thinking like, this is it. Like either I'm not going to barf and some just had some weird, you know, burping forever and then it'll go away. Or I'm going to full on barf and then it's on. Then it's food poisoning time. And so I had a full on barf. And you know what? Actually, just before that, Lydia barfed. And I was like, okay, something's going on. We have something. And... the weird thing was Lydia had this barf and then she was like, fine. And I got to tell you, this was the worst fucking food poisoning I've ever had because I had the barf, you know, normally let me just walk you through a normal food poisoning. This is just typical day in the life for me. Anyway, is like, you know, it's pretty quick that I realize something's wrong. And then you barf, you know, like for me, it's always been like, oh, I don't feel like, right. You know, pretty quick it kicks in. I don't have this 3-hour fucking purgatory of weird burping. God, it was the weirdest thing. I wonder if it was maybe because I just hadn't eaten that much. I don't know. But anyway, and then in my experience, like, you know, you do the whole, your body, I guess, just decides to get fucking everything out. Just like, all right, every single fucking thing in you is getting out of you just because we can't, you know, we can't discriminate. We don't know what's happening exactly, but just everything's going out. And so then, you know, I do the shitting and the puking. This one, and then actually, the few times I've had it, I've only had, that's another point. I went the first fucking 30 years of my life getting food poisoning maybe once or something. And then now it's every other day. I feel like I've had it twice in the last, now it's once a year, I'll say. I've gotten food poisoning.
Yeah, you've had it a few times.
Once a year for the last like 3 years. And I'd never had it. When people talked about it for the first, you know, 28, 29 years of my life, I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never had that. It's the weirdest thing. But anyway, when I have gotten it, it's like you do the whole thing where your body just decides to get rid of everything. And then normally for me, it's like, okay, after I've gotten rid of everything, it's kind of like, all right, you solve that. And you still feel kind of shitty, but it's like, all right, you got everything out. And then you're just going to, you know, pretty much recover. Like I can drink liquids and I can, you know, just kind of take it easy. And then it gets better. But this one was not that. This one was the shitting and the puking that came with this one. Dude, personal record. I've never had this happen. I did the thing everyone jokes about, which is the fucking puking and diarrheaing at the same time.
Oh, man. I've never done that.
I've never done it. I was puking so much. And after some sort of, you know, in the midst of some puking diarrhea session, I went over to the bed to try to lie down again because, you know, just dead, like just totally fucking dead. And I was like, oh, okay, I think I should be fine. And then I was like, bleh! Like I got the puke feeling immediately and I held it in, like I made it to the bathroom. Like I started puking, but somehow held it in and made it to the bathroom. But it was such violent puking that I just totally shit my pants, like, while I was puking. It was awesome. God, it was the first time that's ever happened. I've never had that. It was unbelievable. And the reason I went to the hospital, because, you know, I've had this and I've never gone to the hospital for it. You just get through it, even though it's the worst. Like, it is the worst fucking feeling. And everybody should always go to the hospital. It feels like you should instantly go to the hospital.
Yeah. Feels like there's no possible way you could get through it on your own without medical help.
Oh, good. I'm glad you reminded me. What I was going to say, and I was, one of the thoughts that was going through my head was like, thank God I don't have like a suicide button or something, or like like just a switch that was available to me, or, you know, a gun or something, because for a good hour of that whole thing, it's like, this is not worth it. Like, I would rather just be dead. It's the most horrendous, like, talking about it now, all it's only been a day and I've already, that makes no sense. You know, it's like, oh, I'm fine. I'm pretty much fine. Even though I feel a little weird, like, I'm fine. When you're going through it at the time, it's hell. Like, it's unbelievable. And I was just like, I would rather be dead. Whatever. I've had a good life. I'm old. I've lived my life. I don't need to do this anymore. I can't take that. It was so fucking horrible. And then, okay. So what happened next? Then I thought I had gotten all the puking out. I was like, okay, I've done all the puking. I didn't even have much to begin with. There's nothing in there. I think your stomach just keeps a reserve of fucking disgusting, you know, acid and fluids and stuff. But I was like, okay, I think nothing's in there. I'm just dead. And so I was like, okay, maybe I can try to, like, you know, I'll drink a little bit of Pedialyte. You know, I had been getting some Pedialyte in there, you know, a little bit. Yeah, I was able
to. That feels good to throw up, so.
Yeah. And then Lydia had bought some saltines for the recovery process. And I thought, all right, I will try to nibble the tiniest corner of a saltine. I'll just, you know, just to get something in there. Cause I was fucking dead. Like I said several times, I already was starving because I just hadn't eaten that day and had been doing the stupid burping thing for 3 hours. So I hadn't eaten during that. Like, it was now 5 o'clock in the, in the evening, and I'd had probably zero calories in me because it's all gone. So I was just I was like, maybe I can do it. Just a little bit of a salty.
Yeah. And all that burping burns some calories.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
So I nibbled just a littlest bit, just a little corner of a saltine, and instantly had to fucking puke my guts out again. And then this was the worst, because you might think that, like, oh, well, once you have nothing in your stomach, then puking should be a breeze. You know, like, you've got nothing in there, so it's just kind of going through the motions. No, it's fucking worse. I would rather have a full Thanksgiving dinner in there to puke up, because when I nibbled that corner of a cracker and then instantly had to puke my guts out, I was literally fucking puking my guts out. Like, there's no food in there. There's no anything in there. It was the most painful thing. My body was like, well, fine, we'll fucking just throw your intestines out. Like, just your, you know, your, that little, from the Tim and Eric, that little sack that makes your teeth, like, just the, just any. I lost several organs, it hurt so bad. It felt like I was, like, puking my actual stomach out of my mouth because there's nothing left. And that's when Lydia was like, I think we should go to the hospital. And I couldn't respond for like 5 minutes. I was thinking, yes, let's fucking go to the hospital because this is the worst. And then, like, 5 minutes later, after I was done dying for the time being and was just collapsed, I was like, yes, please, let's go to the hospital. Because I puked up all that, like, you know, the Pedialyte I'd tried, and anything, any semblance of any nutrition was totally gone. And I think I was just to the point where I was completely dehydrated, which is the worst feeling in the world again. So my whole body, it was the worst. So I decided, like, yeah, let's just go to the fucking hospital. I'll get the IV and I'll do the thing where they replenish my whatever, you know, they just, somehow that's how that works. I don't really get it, but. The idea that they just put a bunch of liquid in your blood and
your
then
veins.
That fixed,
yeah.
Weird.
You're fine.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it definitely wasn't
fine.
Why do
fine, I need to drink water like a sucker? Just give me.
Yeah. I know. We should just have that all the time. It's just some the way that. And I was fucking freezing to death. Like, it was.
Yeah.
I walked in there to the. So then we get to the hospital, and this is a Sunday night. So I feel like people schedule their shootings and stuff or something. Cause I feel like a Sunday night isn't a heavy ER night. You know, it was pretty, there was like 15 people in there. It wasn't that many. This is at a Kaiser, you know,
yeah.
And I almost was like, we should go to the good Kaiser. Cause like it'll, I'm not dying right. I mean, I feel like I'm dying, but I could probably wait another 10 minutes to drive to like the better one. That's in the nicer area. You know, the closest one is like kind of not in the best area, but Lydia was like, no, I just want to get there. I can't deal with this. And keep in mind, Lydia had barf that one time and then was fine. And so I was like, do you have it? Are you okay? And she's like, I feel a little weird, but I'm fine. And So at the hospital, I felt like an asshole because I know I just have fucking food poisoning and who God knows what else everybody else is doing in there. But I'm freezing to death. I'm so weak. I couldn't even stand. Like I barely could stand up. It was so I'm at the window and, you know, with Lydia and they're like she's trying to ask me questions. I'm like, I don't think I can stand up. Like I need to sit, give me a wheelchair or something. And there wasn't a fucking wheelchair anywhere. And then I was like, I need to sit down. Like, give me what do I need to tell you? I'm dying. Just fucking get me in here. And like, I felt like I was a refugee or something. I had this blanket wrapped around me because I was fucking freezing. And it just felt weird because like all things considered, it wasn't like it's not like that serious, but it felt like it, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so they get me in to do the IV. And right, and so the lady starts doing the IV and then Lydia starts barfing. So, but they have those good, you know, they have good solid barf bags there. They make a quality barf bag that they have in the hospital. And Lydia had already grabbed one because she was feeling a little nauseous. Or no, actually, no, I think she had one for me. That's what it was. Yeah. She had a barf bag ready for me, but I was like, there's nothing in me. I'm not barfing. Like as long as I don't try to chew the tiniest corner of a saltine cracker, there's no way I'm barfing. Now, still diarrhea every 10 minutes, you know, my ass decides that it needs to get rid of a little more digestive stuff for no reason. Like just get it all out. Why couldn't it just be one thing? No, it's got to be every fucking 10 minutes. But anyway, she was holding my barf bag. And so the lady starts doing the needle, you know, and then Lydia just loses it, barfs up a whole soup.
Oh, man.
And I was like, was that? I could barely talk, but I was like, was that because the needle or are you sick? You know? And I guess she must have had a little bit. But it for her, that's another thing that's unfair. So why does Lydia not that I wanted Lydia to have it, but what is it about bodies or just whatever stomachs where she can, whatever we ate, she ate the same of. Like it wasn't the last 24 hours of eating, we basically ate the same stuff. You know, it wasn't like I had seven servings of raw chicken and she just had, you know, it was nothing. We ate the same thing. We split the salmon that she cooked that I think was it, maybe. And she might have even had more of it because I don't like salmon. So I just kind of had some. And that was another thing. My dinner the night before was fucking nothing. So I was on no calorie. That was part of the reason I needed to be in the hospital. But a couple of funny hospital things. First off, the lady in the ER place, like there's a separate, you know, Lance Armstrong, doping section, like the section, what's that?
I know that section.
Yeah. There's a section for just like human growth hormone or whatever you're doing via IV. And that's where I was. And the lady has zero bedside manner. And I was thinking about it and I was like, yeah, I don't really blame her. Like she's just there, even though I feel like I'm fucking dying. She is like, okay, I'm going to give you the shit in your veins and it'll be fine. Like, don't worry about it. You know? And it's like, okay, I get it. But I was freezing to death. Like I was shivering violently. I was thinking she could maybe offer me another blanket or something. No, didn't care. She was just, we'd ask her something and she'd be like, well, I'm going to do the IV. Like took an hour to talk and had no, she wasn't mean or anything. It was just like, this is a job for her, which is, you know, everything's a job for everybody. So it makes sense. And that was, my other thought was like, I love that there's all those doctor shows where it's all exciting and stuff. Like they really need to replace that with just people who hate their job and are just kind of there. That'd be funny. Like, oh, we need to find a CC's or whatever. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get the fucking thing. Is it over here? Where's the goddamn 20 CC's or whatever? Where did you put that? It should just be people who are kind of, you know, oh, I'm off in an hour. All right. You know, that kind of thing. Because that's what it really was for her.
Yeah.
And then I was wondering if you've seen the previews for this new idiotic show.
Oh, God. Yeah, I have.
You have?
I already know what you're going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll play it, actually. Is the echo back? Because I unmuted my computer. It is?
Yeah. Well, it was. Now it's not.
Oh, okay. Well, let me get, I remember the name of it because it's so fucking stupid. Yeah. Okay. I remembered it. Yeah.
It's so dumb.
This is the dumbest fucking shit. I was thinking that. Okay. Sure. Where's a good. That's 3 minutes. I'm not watching a 3 minute thing. Where's the like 1 minute? 1 minute or less. Give me one. All right. Fine. I'll click on the. Why isn't there a goddamn 30 second one? Just give me a 30 second one. That's I'm not watching 3 minutes of a trailer. Oh, that's some behind the scenes thing. Did you hear that? Oh, here we go. Wait. Yeah. Okay, I might have found a slight. Oh, no. Here we go. Found the one that it does every time. Okay.
Everyone in the cardiac surgical department, please raise your hands. You're all fired. Any department who places billing above care will be terminated. We all feel like the system is too big to change. But guess what? We are the system, and we need to change. So, how can I help?
They're not going to let you just help people.
So let's help as many as we can before they figure us out.
God, so fucking stupid.
Yeah, the ones I saw another one that was had more dumb statements.
Yeah.
He's standing up. Did that one show him standing up in front of like a lecture
that was,
hall?
You're all fired. Yeah. Okay, sure.
The good news is you're fired.
Yeah.
That
what
is
did he say? He was like, who's in the cardiac surgery? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Just the whole department. He just fired. Oh my God. This is the stupidest fucking thing. So it made me think of this show that's the dumbest preview. So it's an opportunity to talk about this dumbass show. Yeah. All right. The problem with our fucking medical system isn't that doctors need to do work for free. That's not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem isn't that some hotshot. What is this guy? Is he? He's wearing the scrubs. So he's a doctor, but he's also addressing a lecture hall of other doctors. So is he like a, you know, like, is he captain of everybody? Why, you know what I mean? Like, is he a CEO? Is he a, somehow he seems as though he's in charge of the business and the.
Yeah. Do they have like a head doctor of the doctors?
No, I mean, you would just have a
department
privately owned practice, I guess they would, but I don't think you'd have a lecture hall of other doctor staff, though. That would just be like a family, you know, a small thing. I don't know, whatever. The point is, it makes it out to be like this giant hospital. And then you have that one suit that was like, you can't just help people.
Yeah.
That's definitely a line someone would say. A real human being would come in a suit. Hey, man, you can't just help people.
Yeah. They have to set up the bad guys as they only want money and they like, I don't think it's really the doctors that's, like you said, that's, they're trying to do whatever. They just have to be paid for it so they can't just give some treatment that's not covered by assholes insurance companies or whatever.
Yeah. And like, it's not even the doctors who really do that. Like it's it would be if someone's going to lead a revolution of how it's going to be, it's fucking insurance companies.
Yeah.
It's insurance companies or it's people in government are going to just do a single payer for everybody. Those are the two fucking things that could do anything. And here's the thing about this, like, you know, oh, you're just going to change the system. No, you can do doctoring for free. You can just say, hey, I want to see a certain number of patients. I don't know if they call it pro bono, if that's just a law thing, but whatever. We're going to see, we did that at the old eye clinic that I worked at. They were like, there's a certain number of patients that we kind of know, like they're not going to be able to pay, but we just do it because whatever, you know, you can do that.
They're all fucking rich.
This fucking douchebag Yeah, I want more of this stupid thing. Oh, real life David and Goliath story. Let's get more details. Oh, wait, digital exclusive.
New Amsterdam is America's first public hospital. We perform the world's first C-section and the world's first paternity ward.
Nora, I know the history.
The dean makes me tell it to every new medical director.
And how many of those have you worked with?
5 in 5 years.
New Amsterdam is based on a book called 12 Patients, Life and Death at Bellevue, written by Eric Mannheimer, who was the medical director at Bellevue.
I'm not going to listen to people talking about the fucking thing. God, I hate that. That's everything now. It's every fucking preview is let's get the actor out of his actor clothes. And he's just a normal guy. He's going to tell you about what I don't want to fucking see that. I don't. Dude, imagine fucking, Marlon Brando. It's an interview. Oh, well, you see, The Godfather is about a thing. No, fuck you. Yeah. Just it's this thing. I want Marlon Brando just is The Godfather. I don't want to see him talking about it. You know, God. I wouldn't do it. If I were an actor, I'd just be like, I'm not doing that. Just fire me. I'd be the New Amsterdam of actors not doing that thing. Why? It's so fucking stupid. Official trailer. Okay, here's a better one where it's not. Let's see this. 3 minutes. What the hell is this?
New Amsterdam Hospital.
This hospital is a city unto itself. We perform the world's first C-section and the world's first maternity ward.
I know the history.
The dean makes me tell it to every new medical director.
And how many of those have you worked with?
5.
What is she
in
saying?
5 years.
New
medical. Will everyone in the cardiac surgical department please raise your hands? Great.
Oh, new medical
Great.
Director.
Thank you. Okay. You're all fired. Any department who places billing above care, you will be terminated. So, how can I help?
So
you know, we all feel like the system is too big to change.
We'll call you when we have a doctor available, okay, hon?
But we are the system, and we need to change. Let's be doctors again.
I love it. Let's be doctors again. I saw 700 patients today. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
They're doing nothing.
The doctors are doing nothing but fucking doctoring. All goddamn day they're doctoring.
Too much doctoring.
They're squeezing in patients left and right. They got patients wait. That's why they put you in the waiting room forever, is because they do more than they can even schedule. What does let's be doctors again mean? God, this is so fucking stupid. Anyway,
I have to tape segments with the morning show.
I actually expect you to practice medicine because it's your job.
You're funny.
We have a patient presenting all the signs of malaria,
TB, or
Ebola.
I need you to do a throat biopsy. Just take a second.
Sure. For what patient?
Me.
This girl has been abused 3 times in the foster care system.
If you can't help Gemma as a doctor, then just help her as a human being.
Am I allowed to do that?
Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to do that? Which, oh my God.
I don't understand who this show is trying to.
Yeah.
Who are they trying to get? Because like, you know, like you said, you would want single payer probably or whatever. So, but it's not really working for you. And then the other side is that like, what is the other side? That everything's fine. Nothing costs that much. It's like in the middle of, but it doesn't even make any sense for either side.
Who
would want to watch this?
God. And there's a certain amount of stuff that's like, you know, I'm trying to think of what it is, but I guess this is trying to get at the fact. I remember, okay, when I was getting into skepticism and all that, and there's, you know, movements around like, does this bullshit medic? I'm collecting my thought. People wonder, why do people go to bullshit stuff like crystals, of healing crystals and fucking, whatever nonsense, acupuncture. And part of the reason for that was people were like, yeah, as much as it's 100% bullshit, these people actually make it a priority. They're all about you. You know, you go there and they're like, oh, no, see, they talk to you and they're nice to you and they have time and they whatever. And so like one theory is that like that is part of it. The doctors are kind of, they are trying to churn out as many patients as they can or whatever. And like it is nice if you don't realize that all this shit is bullshit, like acupuncture and all that, then it feels nice to go there and have somebody talk to you. And so, like, that is a criticism of, like, okay, maybe it'd be good if doctors had more time. But, like, they're also trying to help a bunch. Yeah, they're trying to make money, but also they're trying to help 10 billion jillion sick people, you know, like, at all times. It's not like if a doctor is seeing more patients, that's really bad for anybody. You know what I mean? That means, okay, maybe I'll get, you know, not the level of personal attachment from a doctor that I might want, but also that means they're seeing someone else who is sick. Like, so that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, this idea that he's like, why don't you help him as a person? I don't need a doctor to be, you know, a therapist and a life coach and a...
Not a cardio, whatever that they are. Cardiologist.
As a person.
They have
Am I allowed to do that? Yeah, this is the issue, is that doctors are all the dumbest fucking people in the world. And somehow, is that the premise of the show, that they're all morons and they think, like, I'm not allowed to help people. I'm not allowed to be nice. I have to go do whatever. Is that what the premise is?
I don't know.
Why did you perform half as many procedures as your colleagues?
Because there's other ways to help people than by cutting them open.
Run the cardiac surgical department.
There is no cardiac surgical department.
And build one.
Here for you.
Also, I love it. This is a visual thing, but the way that if you watch this trailer, the way the actor, the main guy who is like he's like the main guy from Lost who, you know, just ate too many hamburgers or something and is slightly dorkier looking. He leaves every scene by turning slightly to his right and looking like he does the same. He leaves every scene the same way. Well, then why don't we help people? And he like turns and kind of does the side eyed look and then like walks a step and then it cuts. If it's just so happens to be three fucking times in a row in this trailer, it must be every single scene of the show. Like, there's no, what are the odds? Like, the one time he does that.
Helmet now!
Forget it. I'm going in.
Dr. Bloom, wait!
Gemma, what do you...
So that was this person who we saw in the beginning who was like, New Amsterdam Hospital.
Yeah.
That person... like has fucking, what did he say? They say Ebola or whatever.
Mm.
And so
you have that.
Yeah, that's what I had. So now we're to believe that what really needs to happen, because that scene, I don't know if you could understand it just from the audio.
Nah, I couldn't.
The guy, this Ebola guy, it seems he's in critical condition. There's beeping, there's all kinds of stuff. And she says, helmet now, because she's got to get her fucking, you know, hazmat-y kind of helmet on.
And then she says,
Yeah. And she's like, there's no time. And she just like puts on a thing here. Now you got to, she just puts on like the little, you know, mouth thing. And then that's what we need. We need doctors to sacrifice their own.
Yeah.
There's the catch Ebola to get to a patient 3 seconds faster. That's what we need in the medical system. That'll fix everything.
Quit going by all these stringent rules.
Yeah. Listen this again.
Any purpose.
Okay.
Now. Here for you.
I just want to hear the song.
Here for you.
Save medicine.
Helmet now.
Here for you.
Forget it. I'm going in.
Dr. Bloom, wait. Here for you.
You're such a hero.
Forget it. I'm going in.
Going in.
Oh, my God. Now I want to fish it. There's still 58 seconds left.
What do you want to happen?
Nobody has ever asked me that before.
Working here, being able to save someone else's sister or someone's daughter.
God,
a dream come true.
They're not going to let you come in here and just help people.
So let's help as many as we can before they figure us out.
You need to slow down. You have cancer.
Ah, wouldn't you know it?
But you needed, didn't you?
He was going to help everybody.
How can I help?
And now the very system.
Here for you. That's good. If you're going to do a song, it's good to stay on one note for as long as physically possible.
Yeah.
The entire song was here for you.
Yeah.
for an hour.
God.
Oh, man. I love it. It's my new favorite show. God.
I just imagine the big wigs coming in and being like, hey, you're not helping anybody here, pal. Like, you're not, they're not going to let you help people.
Yeah, it's a guy in like, it's like Mr. Moneybags or whatever, like comes out. He's got,
what's this I hear about you helping people?
Yeah, it's like a portly guy with a monocle and stuff and a top hat comes in. I don't want any helping of anybody in my hospital. You hear?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's so fucking stupid. What was I going to say? Yeah. This idea, all that would happen is the, you know, when whoever, wait, did they see this as the first publicly? I don't know. There's something in the beginning that might explain it. But the point is, like, is the hospital trying to be to like survive and make money or not? Like, that's all that fucking matters. Like, you're going to do more. His idea of let's help people for free until we go out of business and then don't help people because you're out of fucking business, you moron. Like, the idea that that's the better way to go. Oh, I will have helped like 30 people for free and then we'll not be a business anymore. That's what we need to do.
I mean, yeah, even if we had insurance, if everyone had insurance, it actually might even be more like that because you'd have to have really strict rules for what treatment, you know, like everything has to be. I mean, they already have that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, I don't know what would change. Like, you're going to have like procedures for whatever the thing is and you have to do that thing. It's never going to be like, oh, we just care for people however we want. If they have Ebola, sometimes we put on the mask, sometimes we don't.
That is the stupidest thing. The idea that she's just going to run in there and catch Ebola. And that will be the better outcome. Like, it's not, you know, sorry, this may sound heartless, but if the options are, this kid dies of Ebola, or both you and both a trained doctor and a kid die of Ebola, I'd say probably let the kid die. Take the extra 3.5 seconds to put your suit on, and then or whatever. Like that, even God, so dumb.
Yeah, I was gonna say the reason that not this isn't directed at you for your food poisoning thing, because I've done it more times than anybody that I know, but. The reason that they have to rush through so many patients is because like 90% of the patients shouldn't even be there. They're just wasting everyone's time. Like people go in when they get like a cold and we go to the doctor and there's people there that have like other things that are way more serious. And then, you know, that's most of it now. I mean, I've gone ER, like, they say that, like, I don't know. I have friends that are nurses and it's just like, you know, everyone goes to the ER because they don't know what to do. It's not like you're being a bad person, you know, like you're, you know, purposely like screwing other people. But a lot of the times people in the ER don't need to be there, but you just do because you're scared. You don't know what you're supposed to do.
The idea also, it doesn't even sound like this is an ER. Well, okay, it's like, oh, the cancer, what do they have? A cancer hospital thing and it's just a hospital and they got a cardiac thing. It's not like that's where that even happens. You know, if you get referred to somewhere for a heart thing, and they're like, here, we'll do the hard thing. You know, like that's not, oh, also we'll sit down with you and hold your hand and like make sure. It's just the problem. There are millions of problems with healthcare. If this show is to be believed, it's that doctors are heartless morons and evil. Like that's
I only care about money.
Really low on the list of things that are wrong. The problem is how about do the same thing, but. Actually, the problem is they want the drama of the, you know, fuck it. He's the flatlining or whatever. Yeah, they want all that.
They can't really have that song.
That's what I was saying. They need the office lady from my ER where she's just like, let me go get the drugs.
The best underacting is when I had my gallbladder stone and I was dying. I was dying in front of somebody at the desk. Like, I need to be seen. And they were like, we'll put your name down. Like, I couldn't, I was, I couldn't even.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's, and it sucks. And, you know, people should have a good bedside manner, but also they're doing this 8 hours of fucking day or more probably every day of their goddamn lives. Like, I mean, they kind of get, you know, a little desensitized. Nobody has the emotional energy to be like, to treat you like you're their family member. Every day, you know, 200, 300 people a day, every day of their life. Nobody can do that. Like, it's unrealistic to expect that.
Husbands and wives can't even do that with each other. Like the only person that you live with is hard to have like 24-hour sympathy for somebody's every little problem.
It's impossible. The idea that that's, oh God, it's so fucking dumb.
Care about ourselves that much.
Yeah. I want to get back to this. So back to the ER. So a couple of funny things happened.
Oh, I got to go back to the ER now.
Back to the ER. Yeah, I'm going to go back to the ER. One was that, so I was in the, you know, like I said, the IV section or whatever. And it was just me for a minute. And then this other guy comes in. And he was in a, I think he was in a wheelchair, but he was, he didn't look old. I overheard he was like 50 or something.
You're like, hey, you don't look very old.
Yeah, get the fuck out of that wheelchair.
You're not fooling me, pal.
It's important to the story. He wasn't like an 80-year-old guy or something.
Okay.
He was just, he looked, you know, pretty good, even for 50. Like, he didn't look bad or anything. And I was like, God, what's wrong with this guy? You know, I don't, he almost looked like he had some sort of, at first, he had some sort of, like, mouth twitch thing going. I'm not sure what it was. So I was trying to size up, like, okay,
He must ate, like, two tubes of these cinnamon rolls.
I was like, okay, how much is this guy shitting his pants and vomiting? And eventually, he asked me, he's like, oh, what are you in for, you know, kind of thing. And he says, just, like, alcohol or something? And I was like, no, food poisoning, you know, I was still dying. I was like, just food poisoning. Yeah. I was like, it's weird that he's saying like alcohol, like whatever. And of course, yeah, smash cut to that being the reason he's in there. Mm-hmm. So this guy, I mean, it was really weird because this guy was in here and his wife was also there. And his wife was just, I can't even describe the dynamic. So I come to find out that he was in the ER because he just drinks way too much. And like,
that's
too much.
That's like half the ER.
Yeah, I guess.
It is.
And like, I think he's had a DUI and he's also like, he starts puking. He didn't puke while I was there, but that apparently from what I've overheard on the, or I can't even remember how much people were talking to me or not. He was telling me at a certain point, but then also his wife was in there and they were talking to the doctor and, you know, it's right there. You can't not hear it. There's no separation. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, I took him in here because he just keeps doing this. And but like, she didn't even really seem that concerned. It was the weirdest thing. I don't even know how to describe it, but she was just like, oh yeah, okay, well, you know, he's going to do it. Yeah. It was that guy. That was what it was. Yeah. You know, again, it's a little fuzzy 'cause I was dying, but it ended up being like, the doctor was like, yeah, you need to not do this.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you know, he just does it. Like that was basically the kind of intensity of talking about it. It was bizarre.
Yeah. That's a lot of people. It's sad. I was in the ER one time forever for something. And I was just sitting on like they had us in the hallways, like, 'cause there's so many people. And I was just sitting on a gurney thing forever. And I saw like 10 people with that same thing where the doctors come over and you could just see like they can't, you know, well, first off, they don't care. They only care about money, but.
Yeah, they go to each patient. They go cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah. I saw a person that was like probably, you know, another year along that path to where she was like, it was disgusting. And the doctor was like, yeah, you know, we saw you last week and you can't keep doing, you're going to die if you keep doing this. And like, they just don't, it doesn't, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, especially not with that system of like, let's let people become raging alcoholics and suicidal and try to kill themselves. And they come in once every few days and we spend a bunch of time and money. It doesn't do anything, but
what was the most confusing to me was his wife. Like his wife was just this 50-year-old, nice looking, you know, like she, in that she just looked like a normal kind of nice person. I would expect it if it was like, I don't know, you know, a homeless person or somebody with just a shitty life that was like just drinking themselves to death. This just looked like, nope, normal couple, just, you know, normal thing. And the weird thing was, it must be for certain alcoholics, it must get this way where they're like, I couldn't tell really that he was even drunk. You know, like, yeah. I mean, the part of it is I don't know the guy, obviously. I mean, we're best friends now, but no, like I thought, oh, he's just kind of talks a little slowly. And, you know, you don't know the baseline for what, however someone asks. And I wouldn't have necessarily known, but it must be the kind of thing where, you know, like that little level of alcoholism and you don't even really, He doesn't even really seem drunk, you know? It's weird. It's disturbing.
Yeah, it sucks. I think that's, you know, his wife is the, when you deal with somebody like that, you just can't, after a while, it's impossible. Like, yeah. You know, you can't care anymore. Like you said, it's hard enough to care when everything's pretty much, people are trying their best.
She cared enough to be there, to take him there, to...
Yeah.
That was what was weird. I couldn't figure out, but the casual attitude was just like, huh, okay. It was just a puzzling thing. I don't know.
It sucks. But
yeah, no, that sucks. And then, gosh, I swear there was something else, and now I'm blanking.
Yeah.
Oh, the only other thing I had to say quickly was, so they did the IV. I'll just finish up the story. And I started feeling, you know, I started feeling less like death pretty quickly. Because I did just severe dehydration, really, is just, you're just dying. It's the worst. And so I felt a little better. I still was freezing, but whatever. And, yeah, Lydia actually checked in because she had... barf, but then she like didn't really feel that bad, so she checked in so we could just pay a copay and then leave. That's basically what happened. I don't blame her, it's totally fine, but it was funny. And then, you know, we went home and I was still just, I felt my stomach was upset, but I think they give you the medicine so that you don't actually puke, but I still felt like puking all the time, and I was trying to get as much liquid as I can because I was so dehydrated. I can't even tell you. When I was sitting in that fucking seat with the IV, I was just envisioning water. And I was like, that is the best. Water is the best. It was the... I got a cup of ice water. And the thing was, I couldn't have any more because it just was so hard, you know, on my stomach. But I got some ice water. And I just did a little sip like it was the most delicious... like it was a, you know, $10 million bottle of wine or something. I was just like, oh, this is the fucking best. God, when you're that thirsty, cold water, there's nothing better. It's it was so delicious. But I think I did try to push it too much. I had too much to, you know, too much fluid. So the whole night I was just burping again. I couldn't get rid of it. And I woke up every hour to fucking have a little tiny shit for no reason that didn't do anything. So I got no sleep. And then the last thing I was going to say is I discovered, and I'm deeply alarmed now because Phoebe's been waking up at 5:30 and waking Lydia up. You know, I don't have to fucking deal with that. But she's been waking up at 5:30 a.m. And I think it's been because she's on that poop schedule now. So Phoebe's just shitting her pants at 5:30 and then wakes up. But I kind of have a new theory now. Because at the stroke of 5:30 a.m., I was awakened by a motorcycle in my house. It was... I wish I could describe. It was like somebody was, it was like somebody has a motorcycle parked 5 feet from my house and they did the, and they start up and then it seemed like they did a fucking donut or some shit. I don't know what they did, but it like the headlight went through my house. And then also the motor was whatever the fucking loud thing was, unbelievably loud. Woke up. The house got up and walked around. I was awake and then Phoebe was awake. And now I'm thinking some fucking asshole might just be doing that because it's not the first time. Now that I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been kind of woken up in the middle of the night by this several times before, but you know how you get not enough to like really wake up, but I wake up, you know what I mean? So like,
yeah,
I remember like, oh yeah, this always happened. I'm pretty sure that some fucking dickwad at 5:30 every morning does this. And I wonder if that's literally making Phoebe shit her pants or if that's just like waking her up. Like she would just sleep with the shit in her pants, but she's waking up. And like, I want to kill this person. Like I literally, you know, what was the bit we were doing the other week where you were talking about something and you were like, I don't even understand the thinking behind it. It was that kind of thing where like, I almost understand, you know, a murderer or someone who steals
a can of Red Bull in my truck.
Man. Yeah, that. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Somebody who steals all your money or something like that. It's like, okay, I hate it, but I get what's happening here. You need money. This is incomprehensible to me. This is some guy with the loud that he probably has his fucking motorcycle modified to be even louder than it even is. And it must be.
Yeah.
And maybe he works early, but he has decided that at 5:30, he's going to wake up an entire neighborhood of people. Like just, oh, fuck you guys. I don't care. I'm up. So you're all going to be up. Like Never mind that we have fucking babies who need to sleep, and like it's hell if they get woken up at the wrong time. And he's just decided that that's what he's gonna do.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's all about him. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I want the death penalty for this. I'm gonna try to track this person down. I was thinking there's gotta
he's actually
be
like
off,
a really good guy, and he's just like
no.
That's
I don't
all
care.
He could afford
don't
was
care.
Like a really loud motorcycle. Yeah.
You walk your motorcycle up to the road, like. You know, because he's right, he was in my house. That doesn't need to happen. And I know he doesn't need to do the rev thing where he revs it for 5 fucking minutes or whatever. No, not really 5 minutes, yeah. But like good 10 seconds. Get a different vehicle. That's not acceptable. It's not like so I know my neighbor has a bunch of cameras because like something, I don't know, his house got robbed or something. And so now he's got a bunch of cameras up. So I want to like go ask him. And just be like, hey, there's some fucking asshole, you know, whatever. And then end up have it be him or something. It's actually his motorcycle. I don't know. I don't think it is. But that was what I was thinking. Like, ask him. And he's like, actually, it's my motorcycle. And then I would actually just stab him. I'll go to jail for that. I don't care. It's worth it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to track that person down. I was thinking, like, if I could get a license plate number, could I tell the police? Would they do anything? Would it be like, hey, he's waking up my entire family every morning at 5:30. This surely you can do something. I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Like he has to work and he has a loud motorcycle. You're all just gonna have to suffer forever.
The worst.
It's like anyway. The guy next to me who has a. Did I tell you the guy next to us has
oh,
a?
That
it's not
familiar.
As bad, but he has a. What do you call it? A you know, not a fifth wheel, but like a RV rental business, I guess. And so he just has a different RV outside of his house that he's power washing. Like all every day. It's not like he doesn't do it at 5 a.m, but I'll get up at, you know, 7:30 or 8 to leave. And he's just like, you know, the noise of a stupid.
Oh, God.
He every day. And the worst is that it's at the corner where you drive around the corner to come to our house. So he has a gigantic fucking RV parked there that. Every day, all forever. And I was wondering the same thing. I'm like, can you just have an RV parked where like people can't see around the corner forever for the rest of your life? I don't know. They had like a raid on his house one day, like an FBI raid. So I was hoping he was going to go to jail forever, but apparently not. He's fine now. I saw people with like, there was like a SWAT team on his house.
What?
I told you that.
Did you find out what it was about?
No, I was in upstairs and I heard this yelling and stuff. And I was like, what the fuck? And I looked out on the street and there was like 5 or 6 police cars. And there was these guys with like guns drawn marching up to his house. And they had like a warrant and everything. And I was like, oh, he's dead. Like, he'll never.
Wow.
That house is going to be for sale. And then he's just, nothing happened. I have no idea.
Like, but he's still there? He's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, same guy's still there. I have no idea what happened.
Oh, man. In general, though, I think people don't value other people's sleep enough. Like, no. I mean, maybe it's just me because I'm a fucking wimp when it comes to sleep. But. My life is ruined if I don't get sleep. I want to murder. And when I get to sleep, like when I finally get to sleep, if something wakes me up, I can't go back to sleep. And it's just like, it's so frustrating. All because this fucking asshole has a loud ass motorcycle. God, I don't even like, how could that be what you do? I don't understand it. I do not understand how somebody could ever be that way. Like what has to happen in your life to make you that way? I don't get it.
Yeah, you'd think like some places would be like, we don't have anyone working at these hours because they're not going to do that. Like we're just going to be open from human hours to human hours. But there has to be jobs that I guess, you know, go all hours of the night and into the morning and people have to go to them. So I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, and they have to have the... I know that motorcycles don't have to be that loud. I'm positive.
They have to they have
don't,
a Harley,
they
a
don't
modified
have to be
Harley
that
Davidson.
Yeah. Oh man, I think there's a bunch of shit I forgot that was going to be interesting, but whatever. It was a rough night.
Yeah, you've
I'm
had
finally
a, yeah,
feeling
a rough
better.
24
though.
Hours.
Oh man, but anyway, everybody needs fucking healthcare. Make it healthcare for everybody. I was just thinking, like, imagine if I didn't have insurance or what. I felt I was gonna die. Like I'm pretty certain. I know. Probably I somehow would have made it, but it's
well, they
the
still
worst.
Would have treated you. You just would have to pay $200,000.
Yeah, exactly.
An IV. No big deal.
So if this fucking discount, what's his name from Lost, can just make... Oh, I don't even think I finished saying what I was saying. Make the show be an insurance company. Like that.
Yeah.
That's where all... any. if any one company could change it, it would be one of the gigantic insurers being like, hey, here, I'm in charge of this posse, like this unit of workers, like whatever it would be. And the here's what we're going to do. We're not going to try to fuck people over 24/7. Like, we're just going to actually give people the money that they do for claims. Like, that'll be our thing. And then, of course, they'll be fired instantly and, you know, they'll figure it out. But still, yeah. Like, there's this idea that one doctor is going to change this system.
Well, he is the system. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're actually not the system. The doctor is like, God, it's so dumb. That's the last part of the thing that if the idea is that, you know, we need reform, the doctor is not really the thing. It's just driving me nuts. And all this does is make more people think that, like, this is what it is. Like, oh, well, we don't need to vote to do anything different with healthcare because really, we just need nicer doctors. Like, they don't think they can help people. They need to go back to being doctors.
Yeah, making no money. Man. And doctors should just work for free and let the insurance companies make $1 bazillion and all the drug manufacturers make $1 zillion.
Yeah. And I think that, like, your primary care physician should be a doctor who sits down and takes the time. And my Louis C.K. doctor does. But, like, when it comes to when it comes to the fucking ER or these big hospitals where they're just trying to get, like, people need these procedures done. You can't just sit and take 4 hours and talk to the person about their life or whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
Then you're just screwing someone else over who needs the procedure right away. If she doesn't even have time to put on her safety gear before, treating this Ebola kid, I'm sure she doesn't have time to sit and talk for 45 minutes to every patient. That's not the problem. God, no. What a dumbass fucking show. I got to see it over and over, too. It never ends.
All those shows, it was like CBS or whatever. It's like they're all that of different genre, you know, different settings, but it's all dumb. They're all dumb. Yeah. Like Bull or whatever. I mean, Bull's the one exception. I can't believe that was a trivia question. Holy crap. That's amazing.
You have to go, right?
Yeah, I have to leave right
now. Okay, well, we did an extra, sorry we didn't do boner, but we did extra long one for you people. And so, yeah, sorry if that was a little gross or whatever, but I died that day.
Yeah.
The only one other thing I was going to say is I almost tried to, like, message you this gif, but I'm not sure if it would be as funny, but all I thought about the entire time I was doing these bullshit burping thing, you know? Was the Simpsons where the guy, do you remember where it's just on the news or something? And they're like, this guy's had the hiccups for 25 years. It's just like, kill me. Kill me. Oh, actually, hold on. Let me just find it real quick. Yeah. Simpsons hiccup.
I have to leave like right now. So you'll have to play it for these fine people.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play it for these fine people right now. Oh, extended edition. What? No, just
tonight on Eye on Springfield, we meet a man who's been hiccuping for 45 years.
Kill me. Kill me. Kill me. Kill me. Kill me.
Yeah, that was me. I was literally just like, yeah, that's me. Just fucking kill me. Kill me. All right. Thanks for listening. Join the Facebook group. I forgot to say.
All right, fine, I will.
Yeah. No, I made a Facebook group for Shoosh, so find it on Facebook, or you can message me or something or whatever. But it's cool. Dude, we got like 45 people in that thing. You gotta get in it.
Vomit pictures and diarrhea pictures.
Yeah. intimate coverage of all my ER trips.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This has been a Comedy Shoeshine. Find us online at comedyshoeshine.com or like us on facebook.com/comedyshoeshine. Definitely follow us on Twitter @ComedyShoeshine. And most importantly, help keep the podcast going at patreon.com/shoeshine.
Now enjoy the rest of this badass song.